Okay, Ron. Thank you so much. And good evening, everyone. It's good to have you with us tonight. And been a beautiful day here in Carolina again. And but the real hot days and the cool nights is beginning to get my
allergies going.
Allergy moved up a little bit, and of course the we haven't had a frost yet, so all the weeds and things are still putting forth the effort here for us. So we're having to put up with that too. We're going to go back to Ezekiel 24 again. Excuse me, tonight. And we're still dealing with the two sisters that we found in chapter 23, which was Ahola and Aholibah. And Ahola, it represents Samaria and the Assyrians, and also Aholibah being the other sister being Jerusalem, and also her adultery with all of the people that come into the Jerusalem area, and the Lord having to deal with all of this. And so what we got started a little bit last time in Ezekiel 24, but I kind of want to go back to at least to verse 2 and 3 and begin again, because we only got down through four verses. But it's still dealing with, especially with Jerusalem and Aholibah being the representative of Jerusalem. And so God is going to deal with this situation pretty strongly. And we might find out a little bit of stuff here that maybe we hadn't really thought of before concerning idolatry and the things that goes on with that situation. And to realize a little fuller, I guess, what God deals with and dealing with these people. And he's still trying to purge Jerusalem. And in purging Jerusalem, he is going to do it, I think, this time pretty much completely. And we're going to find out some things here, especially in Ezekiel, that it even deals with Ezekiel and Ezekiel's wife, because she is a Jerusalemite also. And so tell you, just to give you a little heads up, Ezekiel is going to lose his wife, and God's going to cause her to die, and that was part of clearing out Jerusalem. It was just part of the whole thing. Now, some of them have been carried away into captivity already. You know, when Nebuchadnezzar come the first time, you know, he carried the learned people, he carried them away, and pretty much carried them out. And what was left was, I don't want to call it second-class citizens, because I don't know. But I do know that they continued on their ways of whoredom and filthiness and all that, continued on just like it always had. And evidently, Ezekiel's wife was drawn up into all that. So, you know, when God chose Ezekiel, he chose him for a reason. You remember Jeremiah was the prophet to those that were in the country until they left the country. Jeremiah was that prophet. Ezekiel was a prophet that had already been carried into captivity, and God chose him to talk to those Israelites that were in captivity when he chose to talk to them. You know, a lot of them even come to him and wanted to inquire of God. And God said, you're not going to inquire me until I'm ready to tell you what I want you to know, because of, you know, of your whoredom and what you've done. And so, you know, this kind of gets a little thick here. So, if you hear something you haven't heard before, take it with a grain of salt and don't believe me, but go back and look for yourself. Because that's all I can tell you. He says, we'll go to Ezekiel 24:2, and this is study 107, by the way, in Ezekiel, or in the study on Walt. And today's study is November the 2nd, 2016. So we've gone through 2 years worth of studies in the word walk, and it comes around again, you know, in this study if we get far enough down into it. But it says, Son of Man, verse 2, Ezekiel 24, Son of Man, this is the 38th time that it said, write thee the name of the day, even of this same day, the king of Babylon set himself against Jerusalem this same day. And so it winds up being the 10th month is Tebeth, and it's equals our January, and it's the 10th day of the month. So it would be our January the 10th. And it said, so that's the name, both the month and the day that it was to be written down. It said even of the same day. And there's a note in your companion Bible on verse 2 when it says this same day. And this same day here is Tebeth 10. And it says, the same day the captives of Israel, God thus knew, or God has shown what was going on in Jerusalem. So these people that were in captivity there in Babylon, God was giving them a little knowledge about what was going on. And we find that this crops up again further on down in the chapter. And so I didn't bring that out. So I wanted to bring that. See, so he says, the king of Babylon set himself against Jerusalem, which was Nebuchadnezzar, for the purpose to take hold or to take over these people and take them away. And this was who God chose as a heathen to have control over Aholibah, those around the Jerusalem area and their wickedness that they were dealing out. And so here we go. Hold on to your hat. He says, and utter a parable unto the rebellious house, and say unto them, verse 3, thus saith the Lord God, set on a pot, set it on, and also pour water into it. So when you break it down, he says to utter or to tell a parable unto a rebellious house or a nation of rebels, and utter unto them or say unto them. Now verses 1 and 2 is literal here in Ezekiel, but verses 3 through 27 are symbolic. So you have literal verses and you have symbolic verses. So 3 through 27 is symbolic in that sense, because one thing represents another. Okay? Thus saith the Lord God, the Adonai Jehovah, set on or make ready a pot. And the pot there is a symbol, and the symbol is Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the symbol. The pot and Jerusalem equal each other. Okay? Or cauldron, if you will. Okay? Ezekiel 11:3 talks about a cauldron. And it says, and also pour water into it. Put it on, set on a pot, set it on or set it over the fire, and pour water or put it on or over the wood for stewing, if you will, because it's going to be seethe or boil. And so this is what's going to happen to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is going to be set on fire, and it's going to be seethed or boiled in it. And what happens to the pot is actually what happens to Jerusalem. Okay.
Pretty bad analogy.
Make ready. Okay. And it says in verse 4, gather the pieces thereof into it, even every good piece, the thigh, the shoulder, and fill it with the choice bones. This is like a sacrifice. You know, like you would kill an animal and use the animal for a sacrifice. So this is kind of working out the same way. Gather the pieces. If it talks about the thigh, the shoulder, and fill it with the choice bones. So we'll talk about that for a minute. So gather the inhabitants, or the pieces, if you will, thereof, the pot, Jerusalem, into it. Every good piece, even every good piece. Every good piece means having the soft meat within. And it's the loin, you know, generally speaking. The loin is considered to be the soft meat of the animal that you kill. You know, generally the loin is the soft meat. Okay. Now, the thigh is also considered soft meat, and the shoulder is the hanging piece. The thigh is 3409, and in the English of that, it's called yarate. And the shoulder is kalthaf, and it means the hanging piece, where you generally, if you hang one up to strip it down and to cut it into pieces, the hanging piece is generally the shoulder, because you normally hang the head up, or they did, and the other parts down. And also it says, fill it with the choice bones. So if you cut the loin out, or the tenderloin out of an animal, we used to do it with hogs, but I know they didn't do it with hogs because that's not what they would use because it was considered unclean. But when you take the loin out, you've got the backbone left, which has a lot of that soft meat upon it.
Yeah.
So he's saying, you know, this is like preparing it for a sacrifice. Excuse me. And then he talks about verse 5. And this is where we got to in our lesson last time. And it says, take the choice of the flock. You see that? Where it says, take the choice of the flock and burn also the bones under it and make it boil well and let them see the bones of it therein. Now, in my view, the choice of the flock is already been carried off into Babylon. They're the ones Nebuchadnezzar took away. So is this the choice of the rest of it? Or, you know, what is this? Really, what does it mean? But, in that sense, I really didn't have an answer for that other than the fact that the real choice of the flock has been carried away by Nebuchadnezzar in the first trip out. Okay. And it says, and burn or pile up also the bones, or as Ginsburg says, if you read the notes in the CB, it says, and the bones there should be wood under the pot and make it boil well or make it very hot. So when you look at that and it says, and burn also the bones or pile up also the wood under the pot with the bones that didn't have any, where the meat had all been taken off of the bones because they either get buried or used in some manner. Because God deals in cleanliness when the sacrifice is made. He leaves nothing. The blood has to be taken care of. And the blood is not, that isn't used on the mercy seat and all is covered up with dust or dirt. It's put under the dirt. Because this is the way they keep down disease. Remember what I said. This is the way they keep down disease. It's okay, and we'll read about this in just a minute. It's okay to kill an animal for food. But you have to do away with the blood as God prescribed. And so it is with the sacrifice. But what about the blood that's offered to these idols? And where does it come from? Ooh. Whoa, wait a minute. What are we talking about here? That's something altogether different. But we're going to get involved in that a little bit too, because I think with the idolatrous worship that's going on and the whoredom that's going on is all hand in hand. You can't take one away from the other. And it gets bad. It really gets bad with what they were doing. And we'll talk about that a little more. But it says, to pile up the bones, pile up the wood under the pot and make it boil well or make it very hot. And let them, seethe the bones of it therein. And C there is 13:10, to be done as roast, if you will, because the water is going to leave it, and eventually the meat is going to be burned up. And it talks about the water is going to radiate, and the bones also is going to radiate out of the meat here, because the meat is going to become, liquefied in a great sense. And it's going to be liquefied within the pot. And this is God's way of saying, I'm going to get rid of it. I'm going to get rid of it once and for all. This way. Then we get down to verse 6. It says, wherefore. Wherefore means to set upright, or it can mean after that. And it's 36:51, and the Strong, and the English word there is Cain, like K-A-N-E. Cain. Wherefore thus saith the Lord God, woe to the bloody city, to the pot, whose scum is therein, and whose scum is not gone out of it. Bring it out piece by piece. Let no light fall upon it. So in verse 6, he says, after that, made the pile, built the fire, and started roasting the meat, it's going to get to a point to where it catches on fire, evidently also. We're gonna look at what it says, woe to the bloody city. Let's go back to chapter 22, a couple of pages back. I don't know that we read it before. I don't think we did, because we kind of glossed over that when we went over. But in chapter 22, if I can find it here, in chapter 22, we're gonna look at what it says there. Well, let's start with one. It says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, now thou son of man, wilt thou judge this bloody city? Yea, thou shalt show her all of her abominations. It's almost like, as he says this to Ezekiel, he says, you're going to show her everything that she's doing, And there may be some things that she's doing that she thinks is okay. And he says in verse 3, "Then say thou, thus saith the Lord God, the city sheddeth blood in the midst of it, that her time may come, and maketh idols against herself to defile herself." So you see, he's talking about her shedding her blood, which is the monthly time of a woman. What do you do? What does she do with that when she's doing all these whoredoms? It gets involved in the idol worship too.
Yeah, they have specific laws.
Huh?
They have specific laws.
Oh yeah, and we're gonna read some more of them. He says, okay, let's go back to 6. "Woe unto the bloody city, to the pot." Okay, to Jerusalem, whose scum is therein. Okay, now the scum, there's a word here in the notes that says the scum is verdigris, and it occurs only in this chapter. There's 5 times that in this chapter that the word scum is used. But when you go to 2457 in the Strong and look it up, verdigris means disease. That it can be diseased or within itself can cause disease. How old do you think AIDS is? Are we talking something here that kind of went away and come back again? I'm not saying that it is. I'm just saying, think about it. Think about it, man. We're going to read the rest of this. It says, "Whose scum is therein, and whose scum is not gone out of it." The scum is still in Jerusalem. So, and Strong says it's a disease. Okay? And so, if it's not gone out of it, then God has allowed it to remain within Jerusalem for eradication, because he is going to eradicate the rest of the people that's in Jerusalem. He's going to clean it out. Okay. So he says, "Bring it out piece by piece. Destroy it totally, bit by bit, fragment by fragment. Let no lot fall upon it." Let's look at the note in the Companion Bible. "Let no lot fall on Jerusalem," because we're going to eradicate everything that is in Jerusalem. And it says, signifying that the city was to be destroyed, not lotted out to or by the conquerors in any way. They weren't to take anything else out of it except what God allowed. Because he was doing this for eradication. God's fire can't eradicate things that will never show up again if he doesn't want it to.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let's go to verse 7. "For her blood is in the midst of her. She set it upon the top of a rock. She poured it not upon the ground to cover it with dust." So her blood, evidently, whatever they did and however they worked this whoredom out there and where she committed that, evidently was on, like on a marble slab or something like that. And you see, a woman cannot get with child when she has that time of the month.
Yep.
And so, not only that, but it might have been used also in the other place. And that blood, her issue of blood, was come out on the rock. And so I think it's according to the people that went in to her in that sense that, you know, this was the thing. And it said that she didn't pour it on the ground. It says for her blood or Aholibah, which means Jerusalem, remains in the midst of her and also, I think, in the midst of the city. She set it or placed it upon the top of a rock in the high place for her adultery practice. And Jerusalem was so put away with all this whoredom and things that they wouldn't have been no lapse in it. They would have went day to day, night to night to that extent. And so it said that she poured it not, and again here, Ginsburg says not there, or the 1611 edition of the Authorized Version omitted this not. But you could put it in there and say she poured it not as prescribed by God's law. She didn't cover her blood up with dust. And it's probably diseased. Because they've already said that, Strong's has already said that, what was the name? Verdigris?
Verdigris occurs only in this chapter.
Yeah, and it's the scum, you see, to that extent. So, she poured it not upon the ground to cover it with dust. So let's go back to Leviticus for a minute. Let's go back to Leviticus 17. And I know we've kind of beat this to death in Leviticus, but there's so much here that we really don't know too awful much about. But in Leviticus 17, we're going to go from verse 10 to the end of the chapter through 16. We'll just read it down. You can go back and trace it out. But we're talking about unlawful connections, you know, or we're talking about the appointed food in this situation here. And it says, and whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Therefore, I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl, that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. And every soul that eateth that which did dice of itself, or that which was torn with beast, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger, He shall both wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even or evening. Then shall he be clean. But if he washed him not, nor bathed his flesh, then he shall bear his iniquity. So, it goes to tell you about even the stuff that you eat. You know,
and that carries on over in the Acts, remember?
Yeah.
Well, you know, was it two or three of the
fangs strangled
four fangs and had to deal with the blood.
Fangs of blood. Yeah. So evidently, they had kind of forgotten that in that sense. And it had to be, what was it? James was the one that wrote those things down, I believe. It came from James.
Well, it came from the council in Acts.
Yeah, but I think James handed it.
Yeah, he handed it down to Paul.
Yeah, and so, you know, it seems like that they had forgotten about all this stuff in Leviticus here, you know, when they were doing this thing. I remember my grandmother, when we would kill chickens, and you can't find a chicken now that's been bled, because the chickens that you buy in the store have been electrocuted, and the blood is in the chicken. It's still in there. They sell it to you. And it's done by wire. And so all the chickens are electrocuted that I know anything about. And so the blood is in the chicken. You couldn't get a chicken that was passed muster with a true Jew, you know, because you just couldn't do that. And you think about this now. You know, the guys around here, I know Ronnie does, and Troy does, and all the people that I know that goes deer hunting, generally when they kill a deer, they'll put it on ice. And ice and water. And the water takes the blood, as the ice melts, it takes the blood out of the meat. Well, they didn't have ice back then. Like, you know, maybe some parts of the year they might have had it, but the rest of the time they didn't have it. And because they wouldn't
certainly
have had,
not when the weather was
they bad. Wouldn't have had the way. So they had to hang it and let it drain in some sense. And you remember when Abraham made the deal with God, they had to shoo the flies off the fishes. You know, because
And the birds
because you know, I guess it come. It was done in a manner that they were drawn to the meat, or I don't know where it had blood in it or not. But you know, they had to keep shooing all these things away. Even then, so it tells you that they didn't have a good way to. They didn't have a good way to do all that. So here you go. God has got it prescribed by law. For a reason, and it's for cleanliness. It's not to pass any disease on anything, and you know, generally when you buy meat, or you buy anything that's even partly processed, now, there'll be a little thermometer on there, a little meat thermometer on there, with 165 degree temperature on it. You know, you got to get it up to this point, or it might, it might have some disease. And with chickens, even though they've been electrocuted, they can still carry salmonella. You know, it's very easy for that to happen. If everything ain't done just right, it can get to be a bad situation. And I don't turn nobody against chicken, because I think most of us like chicken. And Colonel Sanders made a great living out of it for a long time. And let's go back to verse 8. It says, that it might cause fury, to come up to take vengeance, I have set her blood upon the top of a rock that it should not be covered. So God says, if they're going to do this thing, you know, then I certainly give them the understanding that they can do that on their own, but I'm going to take care of it, you know, in that situation. But God says that it might cause fury. And the causing fury is to be cut off from her people. And her people was going to be cut off from each other, cut off from the rest of the world. Jerusalem was. It says to come up and take vengeance, to offer blood in idol worship. And that's basically what they was doing. They was offering blood in this idolatry worship, which could be diseased or whatever, and it wasn't covered up. And it says, I have set her blood, or caused her to set her blood upon the top of a rock, that it should not be covered. And it gives him the opportunity to say, look, I will find you guilty of this. You are guilty of this. You can't cover it up. Because it's there on top of the rock. So he says, verse 9, therefore. And so, you know, we always said that we need to look and see what therefore is there for. And I've got my little railroad crossing thing here. And I like to say stop and think on what's going on. Think on this. Think on what's happening here. This is an abomination to God that he can't take. He's not going to stand for it. And if especially if they're offering this blood in the course of all this whoredom that are going on. Thus saith the Lord God, Adonai Jehovah, woe to the bloody city. Death and destruction is what's going to come upon this bloody city. And he says, I will even make the pile for the fire great. He said, man, when I put the fuel there, it's going to be extremely hot. But if God lights the fire, if it's fire from God, it's there for a specific purpose and a special reason. Mm-hmm. And the fire from God is different from other fires. Man's fire can only change the composition of what's being burned.
Chemical composition.
Yeah, but God's fire can eliminate these things. Okay, so that's what therefore there, that he said, if I will even make the pile for the fire great, I will make the fuel, the pile fuel extremely hot. 10. Verse 10, heap on wood, kindle the fire, consume the flesh, spice it well, and let the bones be burned. Okay. Pile on the wood, light the fire, consume the flesh, heat till the meat is not. The meat will eventually, in the great heat, in this cauldron or this pot, will catch on fire and just make maybe a smudge in the pot. But now, he says the pot there, we'll get into that in a minute. He says, spice it well and let the bones be burned. Boil it down till only the bones be left and let them be burned. Okay? In that sense. And, what did I do? Leave off something. I must have went
double turned
with my notes. If I didn't, I skipped some of it. Yeah, here we go. Verse 11. Then set it empty. You know, cook it till there's nothing in it. Then set it empty on the coals thereof, that the brass of it may be hot and may burn, and that the filthiness of it may be molten into it, that the scum of it may be consumed. So, there is no doubt here is what he's doing with Jerusalem. It's just not going to exist anymore.
cooking away that disease.
It's just cooking everything away. Then, you know, think about this. With the shadow of where the meat was, it's the only thing left there. Upon the coals there for complete consumption. And then we're going to find that the empty pan is going to melt away. That the brass, and the brass there is not brass, because brass couldn't, the conglomeration of these things that makes up brass couldn't withstand this heat, but copper can. And so it says in a companion Bible that the brass there equals copper, which I agree with, that the copper of it may be hot, scorching hot, and may burn or melt, and that the filthiness of it may be molten into it. So anything that's left as far as the filthiness goes is going to be melted in with the pot, as the pot itself is being destroyed. And so this is the dirty deeds, talking about the filthiness. This is the dirty deeds of idolatry and the sin that God is dealing with here is going to be melted together. That the scum or the disease of it may be consumed or eradicated. And so that's pretty telling within that situation. And it goes down to verse 12, and it says this: she hath wearied herself with lies, and her great scum went not forth out of her. Her scum shall be in the fire. So it says she hath wearied herself. And wearied there is 38:11. And it's law in the English. And it means to tire out oneself. You know, worrying causes a lot of consternation. It takes everything from you to really worry yourself in that situation. So, you know, she has stacked lie. Jerusalem has stacked lie upon lie upon lie, thinking that God wouldn't know what was going on. But he did. These falsehoods were just, you know, part of the whole picture. And it said, and her great scum, again, that's 24:57, and I call it filthiness and disease, went not forth out of her, or never left her. And it never left Jerusalem. And it said, her scum shall be in the fire. And if you look at the notes in the Companion Bible, it says, as it's being eradicated, that even then it had a strong stench. That it was, you know, God says, when you make a sacrifice, I'm looking for that sweet savor. But here it is a strong stench.
Yeah.
It's not something that God wants to smell at all. And so he's going to eradicate it with this fire from God. And it says in 13, and thy filthiness is lewdness. Okay? So we're getting down to it here. And thy filthiness is lewdness. And that's 21:54. And that's Zamal. And it means a plan of wickedness of man's devices. So whatever man could dream up in this idolatrous situation that was going on there, and evidently it was really, really, really bad. He had dreamed it up, and they had dreamed it up and were using it. It says, because I have purged thee, and thou wast not purged, thou shalt not be purged from thy filthiness any more till I have caused my fury to rest upon thee. So he says, in thy filthiness is lewdness, a plan of wickedness of man's devices. Because I have purged thee, and purged there is 2891 in the Strong's, and it's tall hair. And it means made a person uncontaminated. He says, you weren't made that way. I purged you at one time. He said, you were espoused to me. And we read about it in a study or so ago. Where, you know, where it says, I washed you, I bathed you, I gave you all these ornaments and things to put on. I made you beautiful. All of this stuff. And he says, because I have purged thee. One time, they were uncontaminated. But he says, and then wast not purged. You did not stay uncontaminated. By your beauty.
That's the struggle.
By your beauty, you did it. Okay? It says, thou shalt not be purged from thy filthiness anymore. He said, I'm not going to go back and do it the second time. This is not God's way. He's just not going to go back and do it. And he said, till I have caused my fury to rest upon thee. My heat, my rage, and my wrath is going to come down upon you and rest. And, you know, God told us in Ezekiel 23 that man would judge the whoredom there. In Ezekiel 23:45, he said, and the righteous men, they shall judge them after the manner of adulteresses, and after the manner of women that shed blood, because they are adulterous, and the blood is in their hands. So, you know, it goes on, and we find here that they use in one of these verses of scripture, and it still talks about the men, I guess, that God chose. And he says, I, the Lord, and this is verse 14, I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass, and I will do it. I will not go back, neither will I spare, neither will I repent. According to thy ways and according to thy doings shall they judge thee. Here it is. They shall judge thee, saith the Lord God. So let's break this down and we'll close. I, the Lord, have spoken it. This is done out of Jehovah's oracle, and it carries on through to the end of that verse where it says, saith the Lord God. That kind of all goes together, if you will, and then we'll look at what goes between the beginning and the ending of that verse. It shall come to pass, it says. It will be done. And Jehovah says, and I will do it. Okay? Is there anything here we don't understand? I will not go back. He said, I will not change my mind. My mind is now made up with you, Jehovah. He says, neither will I spare. I will not take pity on anyone there. neither will I repent. Repent there is 5162. Nalcom. Neither will I be sorry. I'm not going to be sorry. I'm not going to be rude over this. Or R-U-E is rude, like to feel sorry for in the English. He says, neither will I repent according to thy ways and according to thy doings. This is where we get down to the nitty-gritty of our study here, and it deals with their manner of life, their walk. They have left God out completely. And God says, your manner of life is not going to be accepted. It is going to be eradicated. You are going down. And it says, shall they judge thee, saith the Lord. Yeah, you're going to be judged, saith Adonai Jehovah. We didn't get down. We'll leave it off here because 15 through the next few verses deals with Ezekiel losing his wife. And, you know, that's sad commentary, but evidently God, you know, has had all he can stand. And although he has chosen Ezekiel to be the spokesman for those people in captivity in Babylon, his wife gets caught up in the fray and she's not going to make it. And it says in one of those verses there, it says, son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. And I said, wait a minute.
Does that mean the movement of a...
I don't know if it's a movement of a hand or if it's a blood vessel going to the brain to get you.
Is that the only place that's used?
No.
I've never seen that.
I don't think so. It's the first place I've ever thought about it being in the scripture. But it says a plague. Strong says it means a plague. But now, you know, somebody's blood giving up on them could be considered a plague. Maybe, I'm not sure. But we'll just, when we get there, we'll take it for what it's worth. But regardless of the fact, he tells Ezekiel not to cry, put on his tire, put on his hat, adorn himself with his shoes and all this. And if the people come to mourn, don't take any of their food. And don't let a tear fall out of your eye. It's like, Ezekiel, you're not going to show any remorse for this because this is my judgment against these people.
Had to be.
So I'll give you a little hint of what's coming up in that situation. So we've run out of time, and we'll go ahead and say it's good to have you with us. And I keep hating to have to go over a lot of this stuff, but at least it gives us an idea. And every time we go over some of this, I kind of think to myself, how can it get any worse? But they dream up all this stuff that they included in their idolatrous stuff.
When,
and it can't get no worse than that.
You said last week, you know, with people, don't ever think it can't get worse.
No, but it's just so bad. And I can see why God says, then my heat, my anger, and my wrath are going to come down on you, and I'm not going to be sorry for it. It's just going to happen. It was just like the children in the wilderness that murmured against God and wouldn't quit, kept on until the ground opened up and swallowed them up alive. Well, Jerusalem is going to burn them up like if they was in a pot. And the fire, God's fire, and he's going to do them in.
That's a
do them away.
Interesting analogy.
But that's just the way it is. And so, one thing I do know, God can certainly get fed up. And this is before he came as man. You see, he had went through all, Jehovah had went through all this, and he laid all that aside, and come back with the understanding and the knowledge of knowing what he was, what he was up against.
Well, it blows my mind so big to understand that he's not even done with him yet. He's going to bring him back and give
yeah.
him yet another chance.
Right. But, you know, he allowed himself to go back to a single cell being
yeah.
and come to earth with this understanding, even though he had maybe had a little 350 years to think about it at risk.
Yeah.
But still, man, these people are evidently, even in the time of the Apostle Paul, you had to get the letters about the blood and say, you know, you guys don't need to be doing this. It's a deal. Also, I sometimes wonder when I read these things and see how he is eradicating these things, and I read and get a little bit of understanding about what's going on and the sex that they were having and the way that they were having it. And the way that it was put out, that Strong would call it a disease, that the fact is that maybe that they were AIDS in those days, because God says, in your study, there's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah. Good point.
But it could crop back up if the situation gets back as it was beforehand. If it crops back up, certainly it could come back up. And, you know, they keep saying, well, this one was the first one we know that had it, or that one was the first one we know that had AIDS. An airplane steward or something, they said, and then somebody said, no, they found somebody else. Now it don't make any difference. He could have eradicated it at that point, and then back in the 70s or whenever it was that he got started back, it could come forth again, show right back up.
Yeah, dormancy.
Yeah, because it had been eradicated, but yet it could raise its ugly head because of the situations being as it was. As it was. Think on that. I'm not telling you that's the way it is. I'm just stating the things as I see them and come to an understanding. Well, maybe that it could have been that way. Because I do know this. I do know that God's law concerning his fire can fully destroy or eradicate anything that he desires to be eradicated. He can eradicate.
Specifically.
And he could allow it to come back. So if he can eradicate it, he could allow it to come back. Thank you. Didn't mean to carry on there.